Breaking It Down with Frank McKay. This is 103.9 LI News Radio.
I'd like to welcome everyone to Breaking It Down. Our very special guest today is a fantastic, fantastic pitcher, and from what I hear, just a wonderful person, Mr. Tommy John. How are you?
I'm doing well, thank you.
How do you like being synonymous with an operation? Your name comes up every day if you follow baseball.
Well, it's sad, but you know that all these kids are going down. But it just goes to show you what we have to do as educators in baseball, and it's not educating the kids. It's educating the parents that they can't have their 6, 7, 8-year-old kids, 9, 10, 11, 12, 13, 14, 15, 16, pitching 12 months a year. It doesn't work. And when they do this, and all this has started since the advent of travel ball, select baseball. When that started, all of a sudden you had guys opening up facilities, and they've got twice a week, they come in pitch and work on this and that. Major league pitchers, the best in the world, don't do this. So if the best in the world don't do it, why should little Johnny, who can't walk and chew gum, try to do it? And what we're seeing now in the big leagues is a result of these guys that have been going since 6 years of age, and now they're 24, pitching 12 months a year, and it doesn't work.
Do you know you won 288 games, and this was a much, much different game at the time. I mean, the relief pitching wasn't as specialized. I mean, it's a crime that you're not in the Hall of Fame, which is just, that's a whole other subject. We could do a whole show on that. But but it's funny to say, you know, when you had your problems, but you had medical problems, and that's where this came in, and this issue you know, really developed, and actually, it was your operation. Is it Dr. Frank Job who did your operation?
Yeah, Frank Job did, and you know, it's funny. I think it was the Washington Post had a timeline. 1974 was one operation, and I think it was 77 was the second operation, and there was one, and then 78 or 79, there were three, and then there were five, and then you skipped a couple of years, and then it got to be these last 10 years or so, 12 years, and it's just the number of these operations have cropped up. Now, these are just organized baseball, you know, pro baseball players, not the kids that I know. I think the youngest I have heard that needed the surgery was 14.
Mm. 14 years old having Tommy John surgery. I mean, just
that's unreal, isn't it?
It's unreal. And yeah, right. There's obviously something wrong there. I coached many, many years in Little League, and you know, I have four children. I coached all their teams, basketball, soccer, baseball. But it's, for some reason, people get fanatical. Well, I guess football too, but they get fanatical about their kids and pitching. And I just never wanted it. I just never wanted to abuse a kid that had a great arm, just to overuse it. And it's constantly done. And there's so much emphasis put on winning at a young age, and it shouldn't really be there. I mean, do you agree with that?
Well, there's so much emphasis put on winning, but you know, my son Tommy graduated from Furman, and he worked at a. He had his own baseball academy, and he was a trainer, you know, where, I mean, not an athletic trainer, but a personal trainer. And he worked out a lot of the Chicago Bears, and this father brought his son in, and his son was 7, 8 years old, and he wanted Tommy to teach him how to pitch. Tommy said, okay, and he had the kid do 3 or 4 little exercises or things, and the kid couldn't do them. And Tom said, Mr. So-and-so, when your son can do these, then you bring him back and I'll work with him. But right now he's not able to sustain his own body weight. And so now you're putting all this other force and torque on his body his arm, and his legs can't hold up. His legs can't hold this and this. And he said, he's a train wreck. And the guy got upset. He stormed out, and he probably went to the facility down the street, and those guys took his money and had the kid pitch and all this. And, the kids are fine. It's just, you have to school the parents. And I know I was in the agent business for about 2.5 years, and the parents knew more about baseball and baseball contracts than anybody that ever played the game or dealt with baseball or dealt with scouts and knew what to expect. No, don't tell me how to do it. Right. It's my son, and I know. I know what's best for him. Well, you may know what's best, but you don't know crap about how to negotiate a baseball contract. I know there was one mother up in Connecticut. Her son was good. I mean, this kid was good. And she sent out an email telling them what it was going to take for the kid to sign. And the kid was signed on the 24th round. And I told her, I saw her, and I called her, and I said, gee, was sorry about, blah, 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 didn't get drafted until the 24th round, it was a shame. But the email, and she said, I didn't send an email out. And I said, Miss So-and-so, I'm sitting there with the email in front of me because the Minnesota Twins scout that you sent it to me. And I've got it. I'm sitting there in front of it. Well, I know what my son had been. She cost her son about $700,000 by doing that. And we kept telling her, do not put a number on what it's going to take for your kid to sign. Because, it just, you screwed your kid. Wow. But they know more than you do. And so, okay. But it all comes down to parents. If you can keep the parents out of the game, kids' amateur baseball would be quite nice.
Yeah, no question about that. And that's what I don't miss about coaching. My youngest son is no longer playing. And I'll tell you, I was relieved. And the main reason is you miss the kids, but the parents you don't particularly miss. I want to remind everyone that this is Frank McKay, and my very, very special guest is Tommy John. And Tommy, there's very few people that have played this game that have the respect from every angle that you have. And I have a hard time finding people that didn't like you and that have a problem with you. Do you like the new baseball? Do you like the way things are going in baseball?
Tell you the truth, I don't watch it anymore.
No kidding.
Yeah, I don't watch much. I'll watch, if the Angels are on, I'll watch the Angels because I like to watch my friends. I like to watch Mike Socia. I like to watch Mattingly. Living in New York, you get the Mets and Yankees, but it's just the Buck Showalter, I like to watch him manage. And I just like to watch my friends and all that. But it doesn't really. It's just the game has changed so much. Are the players better? Absolutely. Do they throw harder? Absolutely. But they can't play the game. They don't know how to play the game. And it's not about power. It's not about strength. But if you look at golf, I was watching this last tournament that was played up in the Deutsche Bank up in Massachusetts. And they had one of the guys on, and he said, it's all about how far can you hit the ball now. And he said, if you can hit it 330, 340, 350, even if it's in the rough, you can gouge a wedge out, and you've got a good chance. And, everything's gone now to strength, distance, pitching, how hard do you throw. You can get a ton of batters out, but you only throw 90 miles an hour. That's not hard enough. I want the guy that throws 98 that can't get anybody out, but he's got a plus arm. And when I managed in the minor leagues, I got so sick and tired of hearing the minor league people that ran the organizations and the scouts saying, oh, this guy's got a plus arm, or he's electric in the zone. And I said, electric in what zone? Oh, the strike zone. Oh, okay. You know, but the game's not taught changing speeds in, out, up, down, back of the plate to the front of the plate. That's not taught anymore. It's just rear back, show them your hip pocket and throw the crap out of the ball, fall all over the mound, get a line drive up the middle, hit you on the head because you're not in a fielding position. And, you know, but you can't be in a fielding position if you try and throw the ball as hard as you can.
I noticed when you mentioned who you like to play, these are ex-players who you like to watch play, and you're talking about the managers and the folks that are on the bench there. What about players? Is there a pitcher out there that you like the way he pitches, or is there a player that you say, hey, this is an old school guy, we would have liked to play with him?
Well, I coached Cliff Lee in the minor leagues.
Ah, actually, I could see a comparison.
Cliff Lee was one of the best pitchers. In fact, we got a memo. We got an email from the Montreal front office. List these five pitchers, 1 through 5. 1 being the least tradable, to 5 being the most tradable. You know, and I saw it, I read it, and I put the players I turned it into my manager. And he looked at it, and he laughed, and he said, look at mine. And his was the same as mine.
Mm.
Pitching coordinator, he turned his in. He hadn't talked to any of us. His was the same as ours. And they said, did you guys get together on this? No. And the pitcher that the least tradable was Cliff Lee. Cliff Lee was 6'4", threw the ball in the low to mid-90s. Pitched inside, pitched outside, had a good curveball, and had a very good changeup. And yet they traded he and Grady Sizemore and Brandon Phillips and a first baseman named Lee Phillips to the Indians for Bartolo Colon and Tim Drew. You tell me that was a great trade.
Wow.
That was, you know, they didn't like Cliff Lee, and I tell you what, I love Cliff Lee.
Still, I mean, a guy can still pitch, and I know he's, you know.
You better believe it.
Yeah, and that's what he does is he pitches. He doesn't just throw. He knows how to pitch. He's a smart guy. What's the difference between, well, let's say mentality-wise, the players from your era and the guys now? You've been around them as a coach and as a manager and as an agent now. Is there the same type of emphasis put into the thought process?
Well, there's so many, it's so much better now. The way that they scout and the way that they have everything is on computers and printouts and, you know, this is what this guy did, this is what to do. You throw this the first pitch and you throw this here and you throw this pitch when you're ahead, you throw this pitch when you're behind. And I don't think you can statistically do that. I think you have to have a feel of what kind of stuff you have, what kind of control you have of your pitches. You know, my whole thing was I'll throw you low and away with my fastball until you show me that you can hit the ball low and away. And it's just not one base hit or two base hits. It's you got to hit the ball hard out there every time I throw it, boom, and then I'll change and I'll go someplace else. But if I throw the ball out there and you hit a little doinker out to right field, I'm going to change. Come on. But if you watch pitching now, the first hitter of the game, the pitcher on the mound will, if he's a four pitch pitcher, will probably throw all four pitches. The second hitter, he'll throw 3 of 4 pitches. Now the second time up, they'll throw all four pitches. Now when you come the third time up, the pitcher has nothing left to throw that the guy hasn't seen. So that's why pitchers go to the sixth inning. They're done because they have nothing left to show you because they've shown you everything. And it's all now, I've got to throw every hitter all my pitches to keep him off balance. You don't have to keep the hitter off balance. Let the hitter be on balance. Just let him take his power away from him. That's what I was taught coming up. Take the hitter's power away from him And, you know, you can't stop base hits, but you can minimize how hard they're hit. And the other thing that I was taught by a manager in the big leagues named Eddie Stanky with White Sox. I called pitchers into my office when I was coaching, managing in the minor leagues. And I said, hey, let's go over the game last night. Huh? Let's go over the game last night. What do you mean? Let's go over the game. And I had the pitching chart there. First hitter, what did he do? Did he ground out? I don't know. Did he? You know, I said, it's only been 10 hours, 12 hours or so, or right. whatever, since you were out there. You can't remember? No. The guys don't remember what they threw. The thing is, if you don't remember what you threw to the hitter the first time, the second time, how do you know what to throw him on the third or fourth time to the plate? And these guys can't. They cannot remember what they've done. The other thing, I don't really think they all respect the game. I think they like to play the game, but they don't respect the game. And, they like to come out and play and make the big money, but they're not really fans of the game of baseball. They love to play it. They love to cash the checks, but they aren't fans of the game.
Let me just remind everyone, if they're just tuning in, you are listening to the great Tommy John, who absolutely should be in the Hall of Fame. I was thrilled that Bert Blyleven got in because I thought he should have been in there, but I thought you should have been in right with him. And and I mean, that's unbelievable. You look at the statistics, you look at the body of work, you look at what you've done, and the winning that came along with you, just everywhere you've contributed, just amazing. This is Frank McKay, and again, Tommy John's been a very special guest. Let me ask you, if you don't mind, Tommy, Eddie Stanky, you mentioned him. And yep. The story I always remember here, I'm in New York, and I grew up listening to Phil Rizzuto. And I think Stanky was the one who kicked the ball out of his hand, right? And then Rizzuto never got over it. How was Eddie Stanky in your mind? Was a real tough-minded guy and played hard?
Eddie was a pup out of Leo DeRocher's litter.
Ah, right.
Eddie, Whitey Lockman, Wes Westrum, Alvin Dark, those guys all played under Leo. And the one thing Eddie taught me, and I coached in the Expo organization, I was out in Triple A ball, and our pitchers had to hit. Being a National League team, they hit at home all the time. If we're on the road and we're playing a National League team, we hit. But if we're playing an American League team, they DH. And the one thing I absolutely demanded that my pitchers do, when you hit a ground ball, and I don't care, you can hit it back to the pitcher, you better run your butt to first base as hard as you can run. Oh, well, Tommy, I got to save myself. Save yourself what? You can't run 30 yards? If you can't run 30 yards hard two times a game, three at the most, then we've got to change your running in between starts because you aren't running enough. Mm. I demanded my guys because I said, we had a third baseman named Scott Hodges, and Scott would hit a ball and he's bad and he would curse and he would jog to first base, and all the guys would go, bang, 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 run it out, run it out. And I said, how can you expect Scott Hodges to run hard for you if you don't run hard for him?
Great point.
Oh, yeah, maybe you're right. I said, the other thing it'll do, and I know because I've heard other guys when I did this, because we had to hit in the American League, and then the 7 years I was in the National League, I hit a ball. We may be playing in Cincinnati on a hot Sunday afternoon. I'd run my butt down to first base as hard as I could go. I would hit, boom, come back to the bench, come out. I could get them out. And Joe Morgan told me one time, he said, we thought you were nuts running like that. He said, but then we started thinking, you know, this guy's in such good shape. He can do that and come out and still pitch. Damn, you know? And I said, why do you think I did it? Why do you think I did it? I wanted you to see me, and I did it to say, hey, I'm in great shape. I can run hard. I can come back out, and I can pitch, and I can get you out. So it's going to take more than you trying to tire me out.
Hey, Tommy, we're running up on a quick break. Do we have you for another short segment?
I tell you what, my girlfriend has dinner on the table.
Good, yeah. All right, do that. I'd love to get you for a part two one of these.
Finger waving me in.
Okay. Listen, maybe we need more time with you. I'd love to get you again sometime.
Love to.
All right, so let me just put a closer on this one.
Okay.
All right. I want to thank Tommy John for being our special guest today. Tommy, you're a class act. You always have been, and it's. I love baseball. I love the Hall of Fame, but it is absolutely wrong that you're not in the Hall of Fame, and we got to do something about that. I'm sure you'll be there one day, but it's ridiculous that you're not there. Tommy, thank you very, very much.
Thank you much. I appreciate it. Thank you.
Tommy John, everyone, has been our special guest. We'll be back after this. This is Frank McKay.